Mark chapter 5. And we're going to go 1 through 20. So when you get there, we'll go ahead and read the verses and then we'll pray and we'll get going here. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "And there came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship," talking about Christ, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, 'Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and that, correction, and hath had compassion on thee.'" Sorry about that. "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come again before your throne of grace, Lord Father. We thank you for this opportunity to open your word, Lord Father, to dig in, Lord Father, to see what you have for us from your word today. Lord, these people do not need to hear from Michael Current. They need to hear from you. So, Lord, I just pray now that you would move in a mighty way among the people here. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to soften hearts, Lord Father, make them pliable and malleable. Lord, Father, I just want to let you know that we love you very much. And Lord, I just pray that we have a desire to serve you and be found faithful in your eyes in all that we do. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So first of all, we have here an account of what would we call the lunatic of Gadara or the Gadarenes. Just leading up to this, Jesus was given some parables on the other side of the sea there. And he's with his disciples. And as you know, he's coming across, or they're coming across, and they come into this tempest, and the waves are beating the ship and they're filling in and he's in the back sleeping. And so the disciples have experienced some tremendous things up until this point. One of which that they barely just made it across the sea. And so they're like, Christ, don't you care? And he calms the sea and they say, what manner of man is this that the sea obey him? Right? So they've seen some tremendous things. Now, here we are. We get across the sea and what do we come up to? Well, we're going to come up to the land here. We're going to come up the edge of the shore, and we got this crazy man coming down at Christ. And it's easy to read the scriptures and not conceptualize in our mind what's going on here. When you read through the scriptures, this man is a man in desperate need of Christ. To put it in terms, he was under the power of the unclean spirit. We see that in verse 2. It's where it says, and he was come out of the ship, this is Christ, immediately there met him a man out of the tomb, met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. We see that he was not under his own control. He had this situation going on where he's cutting himself, he's crying out, and now he's come to the sea where Christ is at. He ran there to worship him. If we could think about it, this man would be somebody that would maybe look like, how do I describe this? I'll say it this way. Just recently, I was in a conference in Colorado, Denver, Colorado. And how many of you have ever been out there recently? And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it's crazy out there a little bit, okay? But as I'm walking around, there's a homeless community going on through there. And there's a man that's walking through there, and he is, like, beating himself in the head. He's, like, screaming at somebody that's not there. And he kind of made me a little nervous. It was just out there. And as we could read in the scriptures here, this gentleman here is in the tombs away from everybody. And we'll get into that a little bit. But there's a reason why he's probably out away from everybody. But this, we see here there's a miserable condition of a man. And I look around our society and I see some people in some seriously miserable conditions. But there's some great truths in the scriptures that we're going to go through here. This can be an encouragement to us. All right? So here at, we see that this at some point, this man had yielded himself over to the unclean spirits. He has, for whatever reason, he could have maybe, as we talked about earlier today, maybe he grew up in a Christian home and he had godly influence I'm not going to buy off on all this Jewish law stuff. I'm going to do my own thing. And yielded himself over to the unclean spirits. And now he's in a miserable, miserable situation. We see that he had his dwelling among the tombs in verse 3. It said, who had his dwelling among the tombs? No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Here we see that this man has moved himself into an environment that is not clean. When you think about he's living, there's the tombs there, there's the dead bodies, you know, the stench, the decay, the death, all these things. He's not living among the living. He's living among the dead. And here he is, he's moved himself into this situation where, you know, he was removed from society, where he could be tormented by the legions of unclean spirits. And the unclean spirits drives people into that company which is defiling, and in doing so maintains possession of them as long as possible. How many of us have experienced a loved one, maybe, that gets into a lifestyle away from the Lord, not serving the Lord? And maybe at one point, you know, maybe they did come to church and they, you know, attended all the teen things, and they're doing this and that. And now today you look at them, you're like, who is that? And how did you get there where you're at? Right? See, it's been said before, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. And I can testify to that. Right? 10 years of living a rebellious and wicked life seem like 1 or 2 days. And as I look back on my life, I'm like, that was 10 years of my life that was just lived for me, doing things I ought not do, saying things I ought not say. But yet I wasn't saved. You know, I yielded myself over to do things that I ought not to do. And here we see the same thing. This man is in some seriously miserable condition. He's removed from society. He's living among the dead and the stench. He was a very uncontrollable man. How many of us can think of somebody like that today? I mean, when you just think about in your mind, you can say, man, that really sounds like so-and-so. Uncontrollable. Here we see in the scriptures in verse 3, he says, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And then over here in verse 4, it says, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. Here is a man that has great strength. We think about the fetters. I did a little study on this. The fetters would be the ankle shackles and chains, right? And here it says he's breaking these into pieces and he's pulling these asunder. Now, I'm sure that some of us in here may have great strength. I'm not sure we're going to pull chains apart like that. And I'm not sure you're going to be able to pull those apart like that. When men see that, I'm sure that there was great fear driven into their heart. I just had an example that I want to give you here. This would have been about 2000 to 2002. I went to help a fellow officer with a situation. There was a gentleman that was, I'm going to say 5'5", 5'6"-ish. And this officer's screaming on the radio. And so when we pull up, we start laughing at him. We're like, come on, this is like a 130-pound man. He's like 5'6", 5'7", maybe. Little guy. So myself and another officer show up, and the other officer played football for a college. So we're giggling at him, you know. And then, so then we put the hands on, and next thing you know, we're flying around. We're like, whoa, what is going on here? This is crazy. It ended up taking 4 of us to subdue him in chains and ankle chains. We get him to the jail, and we put him in the jail cell, and I get him uncuffed, get out, slam the door, because this guy's like a feral cat, and he jumps up and he starts kicking the glass in the window, and it's got mesh in it, and we're like, you're not going to get through that. Stop. Well, he continues to do it. And do it, and do it. And he shatters the glass, and there is blood all over the cell. And I'm thinking to myself, where is his strength coming from? Here is a man that is very similar to the situation we have here in Gadara. Unbelievable strength. He made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I have never seen anything like it since then. Praise God. But the only thing I can contribute that to is something similar to this. He had unbelievable strength. Out of his mind. Hurting himself. The scriptures say he was cutting himself. This man he did not feel pain. And we wanted to say, well, maybe he's under drugs or whatever, but there's definitely something different going on with this man. And it's a great example of my mind of what this may look like. Now, mind you, they don't have jail cells. They didn't have any. They're putting this guy in the fetters, and then he's breaking them loose, so they don't want anything to do with this man. Okay? We're going to move on here. So it was very strong. Men had often tried to control him with outward means, with no success. The chains around him would be plucked asunder or pulled apart, and the fetters around his feet would be breaking into pieces. He inflicted wounds upon himself, and we see in that in verse 5, it says, "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Night and day. He was in the mountains, he was in the tombs, he was crying and cutting himself. If that doesn't describe an individual in misery, I don't know what does. Could you imagine living your life in a situation or condition of this, that you're cutting yourself, you're screaming, crying night and day? How horrible. But yet, we as Christians walk around every day of the week, and we see people with stuff in their face. That's cutting, right? I just heard a preacher say that, you know, he saw somebody look like they fell face first in a tackle box and came out with everything in it, right? Okay, somewhat funny, right? But where's our heart as Christians? This man is crying out for help, screaming, cutting. He's being controlled by these demons. And we walk around our society, example, Colorado, and they have multiple colors of hair. They've got piercings all over, tattoos all over. They're dressed in all black. What does that say to us as a Christian? Sometimes we look at them and like, man, I don't want anything to do with that dude or that lady there. Recently, when I started studying this out, it made me think, you know what? That's a person that's crying out for help. That's the person that, just like here, needs Christ. Instead of walking by them, what I need to be doing is trying to share the gospel with that person. They are in a miserable condition. Many of us, before we were saved, and maybe still today, if you're not saved, you're sitting here in the pew or in the seats of the church and you're in a miserable condition. I was in a miserable condition. There were things that I was doing inadvertently that were crying out for help. People were noticing, but they weren't saying anything. You know, maybe when Brother Current was doing something he ought not to have been doing, maybe somebody should have come up and said, "Hey, brother, what's going on?" When we see these people that are full of metal, they'll set off the metal detector when they go through the airport, and they got tattoos everywhere, and I'm not judgmental about that. I'm not judging you if you have tattoos and all that stuff. I'm just saying that's a great indicator that somebody needs some help. And who has the answers? Who has the answer? Us. Christ. The only way that they're ever going to be set free is if we tell them about Christ. We have an obligation as Christians to tell them about Christ. We see, the next thing here we see is that Jesus has power over the unclean spirits, and that's in verse 16 through 13. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" It's interesting in these two verses here. When Jesus was tempted, what did Satan want him to do for him? He wanted him to bow down before him, right? And here we see that these demons, or the devils, are worshiping because this man's bowed down at the feet. They're under the control of Christ. There's nothing that they can do unless Christ allows it. And then they also acknowledge the fact that Christ is the Son of the Most High God, which is very telling. He says, "The Son, Thou Jesus, or with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. He said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he answered him, what is thy name? Jesus already knew the name. But who's around him? Right? They get to hear what is transpiring here. Christ knew before he hit the shore when he's sleeping in the back of the ship what was going to transpire here. He says, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And it says here, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Here we see that the unclean spirits could not accomplish anything that Christ did not allow them to do. Here they're saying, please don't send us into the torment, final torment forever. We adjure you by God that you remember what was written and how it's going to transpire. Please don't send us there. And so they ask Christ to send them into the swine, which is intriguing that there's even swine there. And Christ allows it, and then they go into these swine, and they violently run down into the sea and drown. The reason I say that it's interesting that these swine are there is because they're unclean. And here the people of the Gadarenes have these swine here, and we're going to see later that they choose the swine and the lifestyle they're living over Christ. So here, Christ allows the unclean spirits, they're powerless, to keep the man from running to him and to worshiping Christ. Even the legion was made to submit themselves to Christ. The acknowledgement of Christ as the Son of the Most High God, the unclean spirits only did that which Christ allowed them to do. And now we're going to get to the exciting part, right? We think about, it's hard to envision sometimes, you know, if you read the scriptures, if you can really kind of put it into a motion picture. You know, if you could think of it that way, it gets a little more exciting. Sometimes we read through the scriptures and we're just like, okay, I'm done reading for the last 10 minutes. I'm done. I did my Bible reading for the day and I'm done. But really kind of envision where you're at and what's going on here and transpiring. The next thing we see is we have a man set free from bondage. If you're sitting here today and you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, this ought to get you pretty excited. Because I was a man in bondage, and Christ set me free. I put my faith and trust in Christ. Simple, right? Simple. I put my faith and trust in Christ, and he set me free. And we're going to see that this man was set free as well. And we're going to be in verse 15. And it says, and they came, and they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. How many times have these people come out, put this man in chains and fetters, and he broke them, and he cut himself, and he's out of control, completely out of control. And here they come and hear about the swine being down in the sea choked to death. And then all of a sudden, they come to see what's going on, and here's this man sitting, clothed in his right mind. If we saw somebody in our society that we constantly see, and they're just out of control like this man here, and then one day you walk by them, perhaps sitting outside the church here, and they're sitting here like this, what would go through your mind? Would you say, what happened? What happened to this man? He's not being controlled by chains and fetters. He's just sitting here, clothed and in his right mind. Tremendous change. Tremendous change immediately. A tremendous change of heart immediately. Here we see he's sitting clothed in his right mind. A recognizable difference from the old man. If you go back to verse 3, when he talks about sitting clothed in the right mind, verse 3 talks about he's in a dwelling in the tombs. It's a horrible condition to live in. No man could bind him, no man, not with chains. He was, in verse 5, he was night and day cutting himself. He was in the mountains in the tombs crying. Tremendous change, 180 degrees from where he was. And here we see these people come down to see what's going on, and they see this. And they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were what? Afraid. Here they have tried to control this man for who knows how long. Christ hits the shore, frees him of the legions, frees him from the bondage, and immediately he's a changed man. And they're afraid. Instantly afraid. What they could not do with chains, Christ did. I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself in the message, but here's the thing. And we kind of talked about this morning. Young people, young adults, parents, what you and I try to do in the flesh will never sustain when it comes to our children living for the Lord, our grandchildren living for the Lord, and us. We can do all we can to control them, right? You'll do this, you'll do that, you'll do this, you do that, do this, do this. This, still rebellious, still uncontrollable. This is still uncontrollable. This is still rebellious. But may I say this, if Christ gets a hold of your heart and you submit yourself unto the Lord, things will change. You want to see loved ones change? You want to see loved ones no longer living in misery? You better be praying about it. Power of prayer is very powerful, brother. We've experienced that in our church, and there I could give you some testimonies of things in prayer that God has answered. God hears his people. God answers prayer. And if you have loved ones that are living in a miserable condition, they may not be cutting themselves, they may not be living in the cemetery over here, but their lives is putrid. The things that they do is putrid. They have no hope. Brother, I think recently you preached on, you know, suicide. And I've had to be part of that recently in this last year of someone whose son took their life. It's heartbreaking. And the only thing that I can contribute that to is that young man had no hope. Him crying out, like I described, with whatever, these people that are crying out with the piercings and the tattoos and all that, no hope. And yet we as Christians sit here with the greatest hope ever given to man. And sometimes we don't share it. We're scared. That guy is scary looking. This guy was scary looking. This guy was violent. And Christ, when Christ showed up on the shore, Christ changed that man. May I say that if we tell somebody, we don't know exactly what the Holy Spirit's already started in a person like that. But if we go and tell them and hand them the gospel, we don't know that their life could change like that. There are people in our society today that are without hope. They're crying out for help, and there's nobody telling them. We, as Christians, have an obligation to tell them. We have an obligation to introduce them to Christ and give them the opportunity to come and know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We see a man that is set free from bondage. And may I say this also real quick, and I'm running out of time. It's already 12 o'clock. But I'll make it quick, I promise. If you've been set free from sin, in the bondage of sin, do not put yourself back into bondage. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you walk out and start living like the world, all you're doing is picking up those chains and those fetters and putting them back on. Why would you do that? I've never seen a criminal set free that wants to put the chains back on. But yet, as Christians, we do it. We're like, hey, you know, I really like that sin. It feels good. I like to do that. So I think I'll go do that. Well, what we have to realize is that puts us back in bondage. And I got four more pages, but I'll wrap it up. You see, verses 15 and 16, when Christ shows up on the scene, they change this man. People noticed. And they were afraid. And when we get saved, people should notice. When our lives change, there should be a noticeable difference. Now, it might take some time, but we should not tarry where we were. This man did not stay in the tombs. He did not stay unclothed and cutting himself. He didn't continue living the lifestyle that he lived prior to meeting with Christ. His life changed, and people noticed it. We should live a life that people notice the difference in us. I'm not saying be weird, but I'm just saying there should be a difference, right? There should be a difference. And then one of the last things I want to point out here is that Christ in 19, here the man, or let's go to 18, and it says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man had a desire to be with Christ. We too ought to have a desire to be with Christ, spend time with him. 19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath done and had compassion on thee. That's the great commandment, right? Go and tell. Here we see a man that's been set free and he's like, Lord, just let me spend the rest of my days with you. I just want to spend the rest of my days with you. And Christ is like, listen, go tell. Go tell them what has been done for you. Go tell them how great things I've done for you. How your life has changed, where you were to where you are. Brother Current, go tell them how horrible your life you lived to where you are now. What's the difference between here and here? When you go and they see this man and they say, well, what happened to you? Man, I tell you what, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he changed my life like that. My heart's desire was no longer to cut myself and to cry out and to scream and be living in the tombs and the filth and the muck and the mire. I'm rose above it now. God saved me. And God saves us. And a lot of times when we first get saved, we're like, woo! I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved! I'm saved, right? We're singing and shouting and hooting and hollering. And then 3 weeks later, we're like, yeah, I know Jesus. I met him. Man, he changed my life. You, I don't know. You're a pretty hard case over there, right? I don't even know if I should tell you. I mean, I'm one of the special ones now. I get to go to heaven. You, well, maybe not. I'm going to close with this. Brother Jeff, the hymnals. These things are very important, and they do speak to you. And I would encourage you to maintain your hymnals. Okay? Verse 2 of what we sang today, and brethren, we have met to worship. I'm going to ask this question through the hymnal, and then we'll close. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers. And our children sinking down. Brethren, pray in holy manna with showers, or will be showered all around. My question is, brethren, sister, you see the poor sinners around us? You see them slumbering on the brink of woe? We're not promised the moment we leave this driveway. We're not promised the moment we leave this church house. You see, death is coming, and hell is moving. And if you can't see it, it's coming. And it says, can you bear to let them go? How do we sit here so calloused and not tell the lost about Christ? If you're sitting here today, I beg you, do not. Do not leave that door without coming to this altar and coming to know Christ as this man did. It will change your life. And I can tell you that because it changed my life. And if you've been saved, you know it'll change your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again so much for your love that you had for us. Lord, Father, you didn't just leave us here on this earth to die and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Lord, Father, you had compassion on us as people. Lord, you have called us to love one another. Lord, you have told us to go and to tell. Father, I pray that our hearts will be burdened for the lost. Lord, I pray that we will see people differently than we do today. Lord, I pray that those that are crying out for help, Lord, the ones that are cutting and the ones that are piercing themselves and the ones that are dressed in black and, Lord, the ones that we just think that are outcasts in society. Lord, this man was an outcast in society. He was so far removed from society, Lord, he was living in the tombs away and at the dead. Father, you know my heart. Lord, I love these people. Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way, Lord, in their heart. Lord, you know where they're at. I do not. Lord, I know that if there is someone here today that's not saved, Lord, Father, that if your Holy Spirit is calling them, Lord, Father, and they answer, Lord, you will save them. And, Lord, Father, you're faithful to your promises, as we learned earlier today. Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I thank you so much for the word of God that you have preserved for us. And, Father, I just pray that now your Holy Spirit will do his work. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.